Nothing clippable in this first minute, man. But listen, as you can see, we are using a different layout today. If you want to support us, feel free to support us as well. Shout out to Blazing Fire for the 3-month membership. I appreciate you. We cannot bring up super chats today, but still send them in. We will read all of them. All of them are still welcome. Join, become a member today. We got MVP content for y'all. The Discord is open as well. Also, if you are on audio reviews, if you're on audio platforms, leave us a 5-star review. This is from Mike Take a Bath. 5-star review. Rap has a sampling problem. Really enjoy the pod. Very happy for Glorilla, but half the album is just flips of older rap songs. Like That is a sample of an older song. Tyler and Even That Obtuse Sad Man Rod Wave. Oh my God. Have more originality despite also sampling. They don't rip entire songs into modern flips, and I believe that's why they sell so well. Enjoy the pod. Not too much on Unk Coalition General Omar. Stay blessed.
Type shit. I disagree. I think sampling has just always been a part of music in general, and as long as the sample is done right, I don't care. Like, there's been so many times I found songs through the years that genuinely have been sampled 3-4 times. I don't know if people seen them shorts and TikToks of, there's like 4 versions of one song, and it comes like 2012, one dropped in 07, one dropped in 98, and then it was a rock version in 72. It's like, all right, well, sampling's always been a thing, so I disagree.
Yeah, you know what I found out yesterday? You know the Whitney Houston song, I Will Always Love You? Apparently, that's a Dolly Parton song. I didn't even know. Whitney Houston just did a cover.
That's something I didn't realize back then either. Like, I don't know how people would feel about that today, but just niggas getting famous for covers? Like, can you imagine?
That's on her album, too, I think. Like, that's kind of insane.
That is. Can you imagine if a bunch of people just start singing Think About You by Frank Ocean and just went platinum and start throwing it on their albums? Niggas are going crazy. Niggas go insane.
To the point where, like, people don't even know the OG song? Oh, my God.
10 years go by, Frank who? Who sung this? Frank
who
what?
Who is that? Sinatra? Frank Ocean? Like, who is right, that? He got to be the same person. But, yeah, man, keep on showing support. We appreciate it. Today, oh, my God, LKIB Johnson. Oh, he changed his name. Big Johnson. Big Johnson, never the little one. Pause not needed. For $49.99. Yo, what's good, y'all? Not Duffy diving tonight. Pray got my parlays. Appreciate you for the 50 still, man. I wish we can bring it up. Wish we can bring it up, but we just can't with the layout.
Tough.
Listen, the first couple hours, is crazy. The first couple topics of this pod, we'll get into some potting. We're going to be doing something a little bit different today now that, because of the fact that we're not at full strength, we're going to be gaming in the second half of this podcast, man. Yes, sir. Big gamers in the building. Damo, explain what we're doing, man. Explain what we're doing.
Oh, man. Something I've been waiting for a long time. Listen, to all my Xbox guys, as you know, Call of Duty is free on Game Pass, so you all should have it. But Black Ops 6, a cross-plat game that sweeping the nation, Call of Duty, everyone loves it. We are going to simply either A, private lobbies. If we have everyone in the community, as many people as possible that's watching right now, join up. We all play. We get some search going. We get some objective game modes. We do whatever we need to do. If we don't got enough for a private lobby, we just going to run pubs with 6. If we can't get 6, me, Souls, and 2 other people from the Discord or the chat are going to run zombies. That simple.
Long story short, chat, we're playing Call of Duty. Now, I played my first game of Call of Duty today. And I honestly did better than I thought. So I don't know if just Val is just a superior game for training my hand coordination reflexes. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see.
How many kills you get?
I played, what was it, free-for-all? I think I got 19 kills in my first game.
Okay.
19 kills, 20 deaths, 0.95 KD.
Sound like you better than JTR already. Crazy.
Amy's that bad?
Oh, man. Just wait. Just wait. I can't wait for these runs. So many agendas are about to be pushed tonight. It's about to be fun. We're about to have fun tonight, chat.
Let's just see if I'm better than Plaque Boy Max. That's what I want to find out, because apparently he is horrible.
I've seen the edits. Jesus Christ.
low light montages is crazy.
It's crazy. I don't follow none of Max's stuff, so for that to pop up on my timeline, I'm like, yeah, this is insane. Like, some of the clips I was seeing, Buddy just turning in the corners, looking nowhere out of bounds. If you're that bad, we're really going to have fun tonight.
We'll see, man. I'm on mouse and keyboard. But today's big two rundown, there's really two main things that I want to talk about today. And yes, now that Omar's not here, we are talking about basketball. The fuck is he talking about? Yeah, we actually like basketball. I don't. Yeah, we're not forcing shit. We back. Listen, man. Embiid got into some scuffle with a reporter. We'll dive into that today. And also Stephen A. Smith and Kevin Durant are beefing again on social media. So that is what we're gonna be talking about today. So first, let's start off with Joel Embiid, because this may be the only time the internet might be on Joel Embiid's side. He's like one of the most hated players in the league now. So last game the 76ers played, and reports of an altercation between a player and a reporter came out, and the player ended up being Joel Embiid. Hold on. All right. If Damo, if you can bring up this Shams tweet right here, that'd be fantastic. That is gonna explain exactly what the first tweet was. And we'll elaborate on exactly what happened in this situation right here. Let me know when that's up.
Got you. Shams tweet is up.
All right. Okay, so Shams tweeted out, 76ers Joel Embiid got into an altercation with a columnist following tonight's game in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid took issue with a recent column that referenced his late brother and son, and Joel Embiid shoved the columnist. No punch. And you can see in the reply right there, the reporter brought up his dead brother, 100% deserved, in my opinion. And let's go ahead and read this excerpt from the article. So he says, Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as the major inflection point in his basketball career. He often says that he wants to be great to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a 76er. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up for work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite. Now, in his 11th season, he consistently has been in poor condition. This poor conditioning apparently seems to have delayed his debut this season. Embiid won't play in Wednesday's opener or the next two games. Now, on top of this, the 76ers and Joel Embiid, or not the 76ers and Joel Embiid, but Joel Embiid has just made a couple of comments in this season so far addressing the media. More specifically, Damo, if you want to bring up that first tweet from earlier. This is what he had to say. And this is from the night before the altercation. This is what he had to say about just how he feels about the city of Philadelphia and how he's being treated.
When was it decided between the Olympics and today that you would be taking this approach and missing these games to start the season?
It was never decided. Like I said, it's been... Everybody has been on the same page. If your body doesn't react well, and you know, if your body tells you one thing, and I've done it. You know, from what I can tell you, I've broken my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision. Have broken fingers. I still came back. So I'm not gonna see her and be like. When I see people saying he doesn't want to play, I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, for people to be saying that. So I do think it's bullshit. Like that dude, he's not here, Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this fucking city to be treated like this. So. Done way too fucking much, but like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and I'm not do doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm going to be here pretty soon.
In the last couple weeks when you have...
All right.
So the audio wasn't fully clear, but just to quote Joel Embiid, long story short, he says, I've done way too much for this fucking city to be treated like this, referring to the article written by Bro the night prior. And then I believe the night of is when they got into an altercation and Embiid shoved the columnist. So now that we did get context as to what was said in the article, Damo, do you feel like Embiid's reaction was just, or is this just a journalist being a journalist and relax on pure journalism?
No, Joel Embiid's reaction was 150% just. And in my opinion, he should have did more. He didn't do enough. I did a lot more than swinging for bringing my child and a deceased relative just to make your point about me needing to play more. Like, what are we talking? That well was so crazy. You said it when you were reading it. That well was insane after all the pavement you just paved with this man's family. And a well, but actually, if you want to be great, you got to get out there and play. That's disgusting. That's disgusting work. He deserved to be punched in the face in all actuality. But I will say, they're not absolved from criticism. Like, I don't think that it's not, I don't think that the journalist went too far by saying that he needs to get his ass on the court and needs to show that he wants to play. But the way he went about it was just disgusting.
Yeah, one thing I've, and we talked about this at length on the pod this year, I don't, the whole tone policing, anti-tone policing shit movement was dumb in the first place. I think there is definitely a way to get, honestly, whatever point you want. You just gotta present it properly. You gotta have some decorum with how you present things. And depending on how you present shit, you can have a civilized discussion, right? Because essentially his point here is just, you know, for Embiid to be great, I'm sorry, we can't just talk about what Embiid does when he's on the court. He has to be on the court, right? Like, health is a concern for him. It is a concern for this franchise as they're building around Joel Embiid. And I think that's a valid conversation to have. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when you deliver it in this manner, talking about his son, talking about his deceased brother, and talking about, well, if he actually cared about, you know, his dead brother's legacy, then he'd work on his conditioning and stop eating fucking donuts. Like, I know that's not exactly what he said, but that's what I'm saying when it comes to, like, delivery matters.
That's basically what he said.
That's basically what he said, too. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, honestly, don't gotta look too far into it. He basically called him a bitch. For real. He basically called him a bitch and said, hey, you want to be a good role model for your son, but you a bitch. And expected Joel not to want to punch him in the face. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's one thing I've also learned this year is just, man, it is so easy to hide behind, like, anonymity when it comes to these journalists. And I'm not going to lie, they have more balls than us, because the likelihood of Joel Embiid, like, reading a local Philly columnist article is way higher than, like, us just saying Russ's ass. But, yeah, I ain't going to lie, especially as I've been in the conversations that I've been recently with my new position, I'm just like, damn, I really got to... I can't just be saying this wild ass shit, man, because delivery does matter. Like, I think, you know, you can say someone's overrated, but to just say their ass and call them out their name, you know, that's one thing I definitely worked on this year. Damo, nah, I don't, man, know if you don't care about that shit, but.
Regress, man. You need to regress. At the end of the day, I can't call you ass if you're not being ass. If you show me ass, what am I supposed to say? It's stomach? No, it's ass. I'm not gonna lie. So I get it. Hey, I get the movement. Clean it up a little bit. We don't gotta be so disrespectful. Omar be preaching the same stuff. We don't gotta be so disrespectful when we talking about these players. And I feel you. But then I get on the timeline and I see how Chad be talking about Damian Lillard. And it just made me want to hate. Maybe I'm just wired differently, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, no, I think the 76ers are definitely, my God, it's like the Suns last year. Like, I really wanted to be optimistic. oh, this is the, you know, they can't be unhealthy again this year. Paul George gets injured in the preseason. And then Joel Embiid can't even play back-to-backs. And then he's not, has he played? He hasn't played yet, right?
He hasn't played the season yet, no.
He hasn't played the season. Like, again, I'm not saying that as a justification for what the columnist said. But my God, the 76ers, they're just in a lot of mess in this season. And I do think that primarily has to do with who is the guy they're building around. I think that is one thing certain teams need to realize is that, bro, you can have all these surrounding pieces, but at the end of the day, you are building around a dude with glass knees that averages 35 points a game. And you don't know if those 35 points a game are going to be there on a night in, night out basis. So,
I've been saying it. I said it a minute ago. I'm out on the 76ers and the Joel Embiid experiment. It has officially been 10 years. This will be the 11th year he's been an NBA player, and he's been dealing with ailments and injuries consistently. He has not had one healthy season. So this is the norm for him. This is what this is who he is, what he is. He came into the league, this injury-prone guy, and that's who he is. Great, phenomenal talent, and I understand why the Sixers want to keep him on the team, but I've been saying it. You need to build this team with the mindset of, what if Joel's not here? You keep getting players that are Joel-dependent. You don't need that. So going to get Paul George, I knew it was a flop. Y'all got Tobias Harris. I knew you've been flopping. Y'all, I've recognized those colors. I've seen it my whole life. That red, blue, and white, you're just the Clippers on the East Coast, man. You're just the Clippers on the East Coast.
That is crazy. Now, again, we're not justifying what the columnist said, but I do want to ask you, with Joel Embiid, because one of the parts of his quote was, I've done way too much for this fucking city to be treated like this. What do you think is the line where the criticism should, like what is the line for criticism where it's like, okay, y'all are doing too much, and like, okay, this is valid criticism when it comes to
whenever you're not, whenever it's steering away from them playing basketball or being on the court or something that's detrimental to their career for real. If I'm talking about a basketball player's performance, if we're talking about Joel Embiid not being on the court, what does his son or his dead brother have to do with anything? He's a brother of 10 plus years at this point, right? Like, his first year in the NBA was what, 2014? So 10 years. His dead brother of 10 years and his son. What do they have to do with any point you're trying to make? So when it exceeds that line, when it crosses that line, that's where it gets nasty. I'm all for giving players criticism when you're criticizing their game and you're keeping in basketball. The moment it's not basketball, the moment I feel like you're doing too much.
Yeah. Also, one thing I've definitely like shown more or seen more appreciation with, especially with how some of these other stars have been talking, and you know, we'll get into that maybe even in a different pod. Like, when you look at Embiid's career, he has really embraced the city of Philadelphia. And you've never heard, like, trade requests for real. He's always been solid. Yo, you know, we going to win one in Philly, all these different things. When you talk about other players in the league, you just can't say that. So, you know, we have all these discussions about, like, you know, who's better than who. I'm not going to lie, those conversations mean less and less to me every single day. Like, to me, like, reliability matters. And I understand Embiid is on the other side of that, but reliability matters. The fact that you can just count on this player to be a solid rock foundation for your team. You don't got to worry about him, you know, threatening for trade requests year in and year out. Like, those things matter, bro. And I think Embiid, he has done way too much for that city to be getting treated like this. So,
B-Souls, I ain't gonna lie, man. Drop your nuts and say the name, man. We done with the Giannis's, man. We done with the Antetokounmpo's, man. We done with the Divas. We want guys that are for the city for real, not this fake humble crap. Not this faking it for the grind, faking it for the love of the game. It's ironic that Dame ended up on his team. Just saying. But we done with that. Say the name.
Fuck it. I'll put my nuts on the table, man. We done with Giannis, man. Stop it. We done with these. We're not doing enough. So, like, if we're not competing, I'm going to ask for a trade. Man, all of this was your fault. all of this talking about if we don't make a move this offseason, yeah, I might have to dip out. They made the moves. You didn't like the moves. They didn't work out, but they made the moves, buddy. So you got the changes you wanted. You didn't like them, and now you're still complaining.
B-Souls, let me ask serious question. Giannis or AD so far this season? Who's better?
AD. Hey. Solid rock. And shout out to AD too, man. This is what I'm talking about when it comes to like players who just don't complain. Yeah, they get injured, but you know who you got. You know what I'm saying? You know who the rock of your team is. Shout out to, I don't know about LeBron, but AD, yeah, he shows up. He shows up to work, man. You can. The thing you gotta, all you gotta worry about AD is just the basketball things. And if that's the only thing you gotta worry about, I'm not gonna lie, that's a good thing to me.
The only time you've heard anything about Anthony Davis is when he was trying to get out of a city. And we have all learned over the years, anytime you're trying to get out of a city, they are going to try to make you look like a villain. A lot of these players, when they force themselves out of places, you hear about things lingering. You hear about things when they go to the next destination or just anything. You hear about it. Coincidentally, you ain't heard one thing about Anthony Davis on the Lakers. A LeBron,
yeah, on the Lakers.
Of all places, a LeBron-led Laker team, you ain't heard 1 ounce of diva activity. The only thing he's done wrong is lie to Westbrook, but LeBron did too. At that point, LeBron gonna lie. What you gonna do? Not lie? I'm gonna lie too. Brown lying? Why not? Other than that, stand up guy, man. Stand up, brow. Big brow.
Yeah, man, we're done with the Portland Dames of the world, like that roller coaster he put Portland through that last year. We're done with the James Hardens of the world. We're done with the Giannis's. New Orleans AD that last year. I was done with that too. I'm like, God damn, we're just not gonna play? Okay. The Kevin Durant's of the world. Speaking of, that's the next topic. All right. Kevin Durant, y'all see with the title, y'all see with the thumbnail. Kevin Durant and Stephen A. Smith have been going back and forth on social media, and it stemmed with Stephen A.'s comments on First Take, like he usually does. Damo, play the clip, please. All right.
We're not going to.
We good? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at Kevin Durant. And just, man.
I should probably.
Stephen A., how much belief do you have in the Suns with Kevin Durant as their guy, as their superstar?
Not much. But let me explain why. I don't question the greatness nor the commitment of Kevin Durant. And you'll be hard pressed to find a bigger fan of Devin Booker than me. I love that brother, I love his game. And
this is the preface chat.
Bradley Beal, I love seeing him do what he did last night, and he's very, very capable. But when you talk about Kevin Durant, this is what we're not going to do. We're not going to look at Kevin Durant and just measure him in terms of just his talent. It's what ability you have to peel out of others. And his resume, much to the chagrin of his loved ones and various others in his inner circle, and, you know, they've gotten at me over the years, not in a very flattering fashion about the things that I've had to say.
Bless you, Molly.
And I accept it. That's what comes with the territory. I got to call it like I see it. I think Kevin Durant is one of the greatest talents this game has ever seen.
Agreed.
I think that, you know, what he's done for the game of basketball, the ambassador that he is for the game of basketball, is to be applauded. But the flip side to all of that is that he's been relatively leaderless. He's been very lacking in inspiration in terms of peeling out from those around him whatever you can give. He'll show up. If you said to me, it's a game seven, it's a game one, it's a game five, I don't give a damn what it is, Kevin Durant's going to show up, and he's going to ball out. But does he get the others around him to do it? Not only does he not do it, he doesn't feel the level of responsibility I think he should feel in getting it out of them. It's like I did my job. I can't help it if somebody else isn't doing their job. Well, to some degree, you can. When you're that great and you warrant that much respect and that much deference and reverence, you should be able to be a better leader than he has shown. And because that hasn't been the case, whether it was in Oklahoma City, whether it was later on in Brooklyn, why am I going to believe that that's something that you can do in Phoenix? I don't see that. Now, Budenholzer's there. He's an outstanding coach, and I think that's an upgrade. And I think, but I saw them give up a lead yet again last night. You understand? Before they pulled it out. But I think they'll be better. Tyus Jones, that pickup, I think is going to help them immensely because that brother can play. And he's a point guard. And I think that that stabilizes them to a large degree, which is why I think there is an upgrade that has arrived. No doubt. But when we talk about Kevin Durant, we're not talking about Kevin Durant talent and the superstar player that he is. There is nothing to discuss. He is that phenomenal, okay? But if I need somebody that's leading my locker room, that's going to galvanize the troops around me to maximize whatever potential we have, that is where history has shown he has fallen short.
Okay. So Stephen A. Smith had a lot to say about Kevin Durant's leadership, why that's been a downfall of the Phoenix Suns, why will it continue to be the downfall of the Phoenix Suns. And Kevin Durant had to clap back. Thank you, Dama, for sharing the screen. Kevin Durant says he's a clown to me. He's always been a clown on Stephen A. Smith. Show the next slide, please. And then he says, I've been in the league for 18 years. I've never seen Stephen A at a practice or a film session or a shoot around. I've never seen him anywhere but on TV talking shit about players and holding them to standards that he don't even hold himself to. Okay. Before Stephen A. Smith did respond to this comment, but before we move forward to that, from what we've seen so far, Damo, mm-hmm. Do you think Stephen A. was bugging with his comments, or was a little? It wasn't as bad as the Joel Embiid shit. Like, he didn't bring up anything personal. He just talked about leadership. So was he still bugging? Was he out of line?
First of all, not only was he in line, online, that nigga drew the line. He is the line. Not only was he in bounds, he's him. He was spitting. He didn't lie. What did he say that was wrong? Damn being out of line, was he wrong? No. I agree with what he said. Hell, Kevin, you're lucky you don't run into people like me often, because I would have told you that and then some, buddy. What are we talking about? He's not a leader. Who thought Kevin Durant was a leader? When he went to the Suns, you know what I said? Damn. He went to Devin Booker team. Hey, Devin Booker, you got one of the best twos in the NBA because he's on your team. Dang, KD team. What?
But I think KD's problem, and I think this is a lot of NBA players' problem with media now, is like these bus rider, bus driver ass fucking takes. Like, we're done with that, bro. In 2024, well, actually, we're not, because Gil's Arena is saying a lot of that still. I don't know if we're done with that. But I think that is what KD's gripes is with a lot of Stephen A's takes, is that it is very clear. And maybe he just didn't deliver it properly. It is very clear that Stephen A. Smith does not watch a lot of basketball. He is more focused on being a sports media personality that talks about sports and talks about the business of sports, and like, he is his own niche to a degree. But in terms about talking hoops, what is this take? There's so many actual basketball things we can talk about the Phoenix Suns and why they're not going to win a championship from a schematic perspective, from a personnel perspective, and Kevin Durant can also be a part of that. But the galvanize the troops takes? Come on, bro. We're done with that, man. We're done with that, bro.
I don't know who we is, because I'm not. I'm not done with it. I'm for it, actually. I'm niggas. If niggas is making them comments, guess what? I'm niggas. I'm making the comments. I'm pushing the agendas. I'm making the arguments. I'm having the conversations.
But you don't even do that with any other fucking player.
And?
All right, he's trolling. He's trolling.
Do I need to? Do I need to? Or does he?
Yes, yes, Mr. Oh, you got to stay consistent. You are Mr. Consistency on the spot. So, yes, I'm going to hold you to your Mr. Consistency standards.
So, if there's a guy that fits the criteria of the same things that Kevin Durant does, then yes, I will say the same things. You just got to give me the player.
Tell me. Luka. Do these standards galvanize the troops? Is Luka really galvanize the troops?
I mean, the aura. They know he's him, though. Like, it's different. It's different. Like, Luka's a dog for real. Like, KD's not a dog. Like, KD's really skilled. He's really good. But Luka, look at the nigga. And they just, like, there's stories about, let me stop. I mean, I can't. I don't see it. It's not the same.
All right. Well, Stephen A did clap back at KD, pause if needed. So, Dom, if you could play that clip. Of his response, you can full screen this one because it's on his
live. Okay. It's this one. Bet. I was looking for the. Wait. Oh no! This is the chat. No, I don't think the response is in here. Is the response in here?
I just sent it in at the bottom.
Okay. All right, I got you. Oh, I can't hear him yet, but this nigga genuinely looks like he about to be yapping. Hold on, my fault. I'm sorry. I just seen his face. Well, yeah, Stephen, they about to yap.
All right.
Called me to be a part of your documentary. That's why y'all called me? Because I was a clown? It's your company. You run the show. You executive produced it. How come y'all called me? When you had the boardroom. And you were sitting down to interview people one-on-one. Didn't you call me to do that interview? By the way, didn't you show up on First Take? Sitting right across from me? A clown. Kevin Durant, can anybody talk about you? I just need to know. I just need clarity. After departing from Oklahoma City, sitting across from me, you said you wanted to play a better brand of basketball. Well, then what was the excuse for leaving to go to Brooklyn? Everybody thinks it's just about Kyrie. It was about Kenny Atkinson being there. It was about you signing off on Steve Nash being the head coach when he had no experience on any level to be a head coach. It was about you making sure that Brooklyn embraced Kyrie because Brooklyn didn't want Kyrie. They wanted you, and you made it clear they were not getting you unless Kyrie arrived. You figure out how I know that. And that was after you told the Knicks you were coming. And then at the 11th hour, you got convinced to roll over to Brooklyn. Which might be one of the worst business moves, Mr. 35 Ventures, that we have from a basketball superstar in a modern day era. Because when we think about business, the number one name that comes to it when we think about basketball and business is LeBron James.
That gotta be Glaze, right?
No way you hit him with the, you're not LeBron, buddy. You're not that guy, pal. You out here making bad business decisions. The only businessman in the NBA is LeBron. Down, buddy. That is crazy.
That's yo, crazy.
What does that got to do with basketball?
Yo, you know what?
The Warriors are going to Brooklyn. Bad decision maker, Kevin Durant. You know what he's going to do? Okay.
I'll give Stephen A. this point. I think when you look back at Kevin Durant's history with how he interacts with the media, and that's not even just traditional media, it could be like social media. He never has these, oh, the media is so toxic takes when they're gassing him up, when they're glazing the fuck out of him, when they're calling him the GOAT, I swear to God, if that same segment happened, but it was just, Kevin Durant is like, the greatest superstar, like he is him for the Phoenix Suns. Like, what even is there to talk about? You wouldn't have heard a lick from KD. But because it's questioning his greatness, it's negative towards him. This could even go back to, like, you know, his confrontation with Lowe. Even back in the day with, like, what, Bucket Center. I don't even know if you remember that name. Like, Bucket Center and KD. Yeah, Bucket Center and KD getting into it on IG. Like, Kevin Durant does seem like a guy where, and this is a lot of NBA players, and to a degree, I don't blame him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's that whole, like, you know, you can read of a sea of great comments, but that one comment that shits on you, that shit stands out. So to a degree, I don't blame him, but from what Stephen A is saying, I think that's why he asked the question. Damn, who can talk about you? Like, can people only talk about you when they're glazing you? Like, can we actually critique your game, or are you just going to call us fucking clowns that never played basketball, look of our lives, every time we critique you? So.
But, I mean, only problem I have with that is that's every athlete in general. There's no athlete that when niggas are overly glazing, they're like, all right, guys, come on. It's not that big. Like, no one does that. Every athlete eats all that shit up, and they always overboard or, well, not always. There are some that can drown out the noise that don't pay attention to it, but there's never, show me the athlete that is spoke up and were like, all right, guys, calm down, man. I'm not that great.
Anthony Edwards. When people were making the MJ comps, he was telling the media to stop.
That's different.
What?
They were saying I was that nigga's son, bro. Don't he know his dad?
No. That's a W example, bro.
That's not W example. It's the same thing with Kyrie. How's LeBron as a father figure? Bitch, I know my dad. Fuck you talking about? Like, that's crazy. Niggas trying to say MJ's this nigga's dad for it. They look at him. They look alike. That's wild for a nigga that know his dad. What?
If you're gonna say all those and MJ comps is just, oh, MJ might be his dad. Stop it, bro. There were next face of the league conversations. There were, you know, oh, he has the same charisma as Michael. You know, he got the personality to be the face of the league. Oh, if Mike played NBA basketball in 2024, he'd look just like Ant. Stop it, bro. Stop it. I think he even addressed it in the starting five doc. Like, come on, bro. Ant does it. Why can't KD?
I guess you got me. Trap cars are seated. I'm blurry. But I guess you got me.
All right, man. Let's read some of these super chats real quick. I missed one from John earlier. Shout out to John for the $10. OG edition in the building. Y'all know what the fuck going on. Quick question. What color is a mirror? Clear.
It's not a color.
Does it have a color? It just reflects. It's not a color. It's all the colors, actually.
It's every color. All right. It's everything and nothing at the same time. Head ass. All right. All right. Third eye ass. Okay. All right.
This is from Daniel Uday for $20. That's it. Big 20 in the building.
Hey, Founders Edition. What's with that?
Edition. Yeah, 50% each, man. Even Stevens. You know how many super chats we would have had to get the same cut?
A lot.
1,000. Like, hey, coming from us, this is the pod to super chat.
Fact. This is the one.
This is the one. Keep it rolling, please, and thank you. For everyone just joining in, we're running a two-man today. All right. We're doing a little bit of potting in the beginning. Omar's in Africa for the week. Sage got some stuff to do tonight. But we still gotta show up for the people, man. The founders gotta show up for the people.
You see what gotta I'm get saying? The people what they want for real.
Absolutely. I do wanna do one hot take or hot ass. Cause Lo has been getting flambéed on Twitter. Have you seen the tweet?
I have not seen the tweet.
All right. I'm gonna have you play it. It's in the chat right now. I baited Lo into a hot take chat for work purposes.
I heard about this clip. I didn't watch it because I knew I would end up seeing it for the pod. I seen it on the timeline. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
It's funny because not as you work for playback, when I see shit like this, I'm like, yo, Bezos is so Bezos is at work like
Yo, chat, I be cooking on the playback account, and I ain't gonna lie. Hey, we got some high level tweets here. Damo, I be making tweets to set up my quote retweet, and my quote retweet be going crazy. Everyone wins.
I'm looking, yo, this is the biggest finesse of everything. I'm like, this nigga is tweeting to himself. He's setting it up. He is setting up his own bangers. This is crazy.
Yo, what I do? Oh, opening night, Celtics win. Is this Celtics team a super team? Within the minute, quoted. Nah, relax, y'all. Relax.
Yo, this dude is crazy. All he did was switch accounts. He just switched accounts. He hit tweet. Tweet sent back. Switch. Nah, yo.
Hey, chat, I got a bang off of this one. You seen the Vince Carter meme?
Yes.
I tweeted out on playback. Caption this. Within the minute. Core retweeted with my caption, man. When McDonald's accidentally gives you an extra chicken nugget. And you can imagine the replies. Of course, B Soul is talking about chicken nuggets.
Two birds, one stone head ass. Let me play this damn clip, bro. This is crazy.
Hot take or hot ass?
Jaylen Brown might actually be the most overrated player in the NBA. I'm not even like joking. To be fair, no one is actually saying it. I see people saying it, but like not really like making full on commitments to the idea, but no one doesn't want to talk about the fact that Jaylen Brown is playing god awful right now, and they're still winning games. Can't hit a shot, can't handle the ball, not really that good of a passing playmaker. He's not the player that y'all said that he is. People beat me up because, oh my god, you said he's not top 25. Like, he's not. He's quite literally not a top 25 player in the NBA. He was on a team that was really, really good. That was great, actually, historically great. And masked a lot of his flaws. But Jaylen Brown is like the most overrated player to me in the NBA. Jaylen Brown might actually be the most overrated player in the NBA.
Damn. Hot take or hot ass? Now, before he answered, them quotes was cooking his ass, chat. And it's exactly how you think it'd go, man. The fat jokes were flying. Hey, my theory about fat people on social media gets proven once again. Everyone is safe but us. I even seen it in Lowe's chat. The big three for real. Low, Damo, and B Souls. All right, bro. Here we go. That's it too. Not the big three. Like, the big is emphasized.
That's nasty. I mean, I'm used to it by now. I fat people just don't get no love. I can already imagine how them tweets is coming off. Hot ass, by the way. I think Jaylen Brown's been playing pretty phenomenal. Well, not phenomenal, but he's been playing pretty well, in my opinion. He's been doing what's needed. It's early in the season, so if he's had stinkers, I mean, we're not even 10 games in yet. Like, got a long season to go, and we're talking about the reigning finals MVP of a super team.
Well, the question was, who does Lowe think the most overrated player in the league is? And he said Jaylen Brown. So who do you think is the most overrated player in the league right now? And no, you can't say Dame.
Damn. He knows me so well. Wendy.
Experiment. We got to get our clip off. Go ahead. And this going to be on the playback account. Go ahead.
Oh, this guy's so sick. you got the soundboard on you?
Yeah.
Hot take of the week. Hit my music. Victor Wembanyama is the most overrated player in the NBA at this very moment. Everyone sees this 7'4 guy with his perimeter skill, all-time potential on defense, and just assumes the sky is the limit, when in all actuality, it's just a ceiling. This man is not mentally built yet to think about the game of basketball from just a pure hooper standpoint. The man gets the ball and turns into Kevin Durant every single time. This is a man who's what I just seen a stat earlier today that he averages around 65% around the basket, and he shoots 24 or 25% at the three. For whatever reason, he is taking around league minimum, lowest in the league, field goal attempts at the rim. And now you're playing with Chris Paul. You're playing with guys that are getting it in there, giving you drop inside passes, giving you all types of looks at the rim. He's not taking them. He is preferring to stay on the perimeter and play perimeter-oriented basketball. And I think that's just who he is. There's a lot of these French niggas. They like that. I'm watching Sar. Sar's my guy. On offense, out there playing on the perimeter, shooting these shots, shooting these jumpers, doing these fades. Get your big asses to the rim. Put your hand up, put your head down, and give me two. Wemby is 7'4", and he plays like he's Brandon Ingram. He's overrated. We have all these expectations for him to be this next GOAT. I'm over here potentialing for Let's Keep It a Buck to go to 4 Wemby games on the East Coast, and this guy can't even have a little bit of dog in him? You x-ray, and all I see is fucking baguettes and croissants? Stop!
Damn. First of all, they didn't hear my soundboard. Here it is, Pat. My bad, y'all. They was cooking my soundboard. Damn, y'all didn't hear that the whole time. Damo, it was clear on your end, right? The whole time?
Yeah, clear on my end.
All right, it'll be in the clips, chat. It'll be in the clips. The live, though, ooh. Ooh. But, not too much, man. It's been 5 games, okay? Wemby had a slow start last season, okay? I will say, though, top 10 in year 2... It's still in play. Fuck is you talking about, bro? God damn, we're 5 games in. Jeez, all this fucking hate. All these fucking predictions already. God damn. He had a slow start last season. Why can't he have a slow? I'll give you this, though. When Wemby came into the league, I think he had 2 routes to go to. He was either going to be 7'4 KD or 7'4 Giannis. I wanted him to be 7'4 Giannis. I don't want to see Vic's tall ass on the perimeter talking about on fucking Dylan Brooks, bro. Like, if you don't back down Dylan Brooks, get you a drop step and yam on his ass from the free throw line, because you can do that. Like, come on, bro. Like, I see where you're coming from, though.
Now, Bezos, what if I told you somehow, some way, he's managing to be both 7'4 KD and 7'4 Giannis.
I don't think he can be both, bro.
Giannis on defense, KD on offense. He is genuinely being both in front of your eyes. He's doing both.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's fair. I think defensively he's fine. But offensively, defensively, go to Giannis, right?
But it's just offensively, when you're 7'4, I would think you have way more of a mind to get to the rim as much as possible. That nigga wants to shoot that bitch. And Pop don't care. Pop is just... Everyone thought Pop would, like, really try to coach him hard. Pause if needed. Pop is letting him fly.
Shout out Pop, by the way, because apparently he has some medical condition and he's out indefinitely.
Yep. Shout out
Pop. But I'm. Do you think Wemby's going to be one of those players where, like, everyone... You know how, like, Ben Simmons is, oh, he's going to get a jump shot one of these days. Is there a possibility that, like, Wemby just never gains the muscle that he needs to... To like be a Joel Embiid or a Giannis down in the post?
Yes, it's a very, very likely possibility. But the difference is that what separates him from Ben Simmons is, like, we're watching Ben Simmons actively regress from even where his floor was. Like, he went from a guy that, oh, if he just adds a jump shot to, well, damn, if he just thinks to put the ball in the basket at all, like, he's regressed. With Wemby, his game is gonna be fine. People worried about his weight gain and all his weight. I mean, he put on, I don't know if you've seen the year 1, year 2 pictures and seen how much muscle he's gained since his rookie year. He's putting on muscle very well. And he's 7'4". I don't know why people assume you're about to see a 7'4 dude built like, I don't know, Dwight Howard. It's just not going to happen. He's going to be lean. He's going to be slender.
That's fair. We do have a couple super chats here. Let me bring those up right now. Couple super chats after we said this is going to be our split. Rodney TV for $2. Dom, what a type of dude to beg to be Little Spoon.
I don't beg. I'm just Little Spoon.
Big facts. I just don't know what it feels like to be Little Spoon for real, for real. That's great. I love it. Yeah. Bermelton Mercier for $5. Hey, Damo, is Lamar still a running back? Methinks not.
Lamar Jackson is the greatest player to ever play the position that he plays, which is running back.
Damn. This shit just fucking crashed on me. Give me one second, chat. Oh my God. Is the last super chat lost? The last super chat is lost. All right. I can't scroll back up, chat. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Which one?
It's another $5.
See if I can. No, I can't find it.
If it's cooked, it's cooked. Shout out to you for the $5, man. I literally can't scroll up right now. This is definitely chopped, but appreciate you for the $5, man. Yes, sir. With that being said, man, it's time to game.
Pull the sticks now.
It's time to game. Mama, 1v1 me and sniping right now. All right.
Shit, say less. No, relax. What's the word?
Relax. All right, chat. Little intermission here. I'm switching scenes and things of that nature. All right. Give me one second, chat. Give me one second.
Question: are we going to go into the Discord to talk to anybody at all, or are we just gonna pull it up here?
Stay here.
Gotcha.